Psalm 52, verses 1 through 9, responding to treachery. Treachery abounds in today's world, and we need to know how to respond well to it. Treachery is being leveled against the Supreme Court of the United States. The person who leaked the Dobbs versus Jackson decision has not been found, and that creates a serious risk that leaking controversial decisions to put pressure on justices will become the norm. Also, before the decision was officially handed down, Justice Brett Kavanaugh was nearly assassinated, and Harvard Law School instructor Alejandro Caraballo tweeted that the justices who voted in favor of overturning Roe should never know peace again. If leaks continue and justices feel they must choose between the Constitution and their own safety, the court will be damaged beyond recognition. Treachery is being leveled against everyone who uses a gas stove. A new study concluded that a suspiciously precise 12.7% of childhood asthma cases are attributable to gas stoves. The study relied on findings from other papers that arrived at a widely divergent outcomes, didn't account for other factors in households using gas stoves that might contribute to respiratory problems, and sometimes produced results that were not even internally consistent. Still, a headline in the Washington Post read, "Gas stove pollution causes 12.7% of childhood asthma, study finds." Yahoo News, "Gas stoves have given 650,000 U.S. children asthma, study finds," and so on. It's science. Similar to the phrase scientists say, so often used in stories about climate change, if it can be asserted that science has found that gas stoves are a major health hazard, that climate change is responsible for extreme weather, the young kids must wear masks during the pandemic, then any dissenters can be marginalized for not believing the science. For self-styled champions of so-called science, why bother with the facts when you can misuse the authority of science to dominate? It was an interesting article by Rich Lowry. Treachery is being leveled against the nation's unity by progressives on a huge scale. Michael Barone's piece, "Time for Accountability on the Russian Collusion Hoax," January 23rd issue, told how progressives blame former President Trump and many of his supporters for claiming that the 2020 election was stolen and that the country would be better off if they confessed error and asked for forgiveness, when the country would be better off if progressives would confess error and seek forgiveness themselves for the persistent election denial of leading Democrats going back to 2000 and very much including 2016. Amazingly, the January 16 riot by many Trump supporters was arguably a reaction to months of former riots by progressives in which dozens of people died. Well, treachery is being leveled against the American public by pharmaceutical giant Pfizer for the sake of profit. Steve Robinson, who's the editor-in-chief of the Maine Wire, it's a conservative news outlet, in his piece, "Pfizer Director of Research Spills Virus Vaccine Secrets in Project Veritas Undercover Video on January 26, reported that undercover video released by Project Veritas on Wednesday shows Jordan Tristan Walker, who's Pfizer Director of Research and Development Strategic Operations, stating, "One of the things we're exploring is like, why don't we just mutate it, that's mutate COVID ourselves, so we could create preemptively, develop new vaccines," right? In other words, they want to go ahead and create their own versions, and then they got a vaccine for it, and that's a money-making project. "Don't tell anyone," this is what he says, "promise you won't tell anyone. You don't want to advertise that you are figuring out future mutations." Incidentally, I've printed this story out by Mr. Robinson of the conservative news outlet, The Maine Wire, and we have it on file. I understand that Pfizer is trying to rub this away from the Internet real fast. So we ask, though treachery abounds today, how can we respond well to it? We have a wonderful psalm that addresses this, only 9 verses long. I'd like to read it, and then we'll get into it. Psalm 52, and remember, the introductory notes are actually part of the original text, so I'm going to read the introductory notes here because it helps to clarify the meaning of the psalm. This is to the chief musician, a maskil, which means a teaching psalm. a psalm of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David has come into the house of the high priest Ahimelech. We'll get into that in the sermon itself. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. Thy tongue devises mischiefs like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness, Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place, and root out of the land of the living, Selah. The righteous shall also see and hear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, nor trusted in the abundance of his wealth, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a verdant or a thriving olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Psalm 52, 1 and 9 records David's response to lethal treachery that was practiced by Doeg the Edomite against Israel's high priest Ahimelech, his family, and in fact an entire city of priests. The introductory notes of the psalm, part of the Hebrew text, state that this psalm was David's response to Doeg the Edomite's telling Saul that David had come to the high priest Ahimelech. Well, 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1 to chapter 22, verse 19 gives the historical background. When David fled from King Saul, he stopped by the tabernacle to ask the high priest Ahimelech for emergency provisions. Doeg was there. He witnessed this event, but Ahimelech did not know that Saul sought David's life, so he gave David the goods that he requested. Doeg later informed Saul of this event, and he falsely implied that Ahimelech had sided with David against Saul. Doeg's words infuriated Saul, so he had Doeg kill Ahimelech. And Doeg didn't stop with Ahimelech. He slew the high priest and his city of priests, including his family and all the families of the other priests. This was a very wicked man, obviously. Well, accordingly, David predicted God's severe judgment on Doeg for his dreadful treachery. David critiqued Doeg for boasting of his evil deed when he was actually a disgrace to God, in verse 1. Doeg had plotted destruction with his words that were like a sharpened razor, deceiving and harming, and David predicted that God would slay Doeg, that the righteous would realize that Doeg's failure to make God a stronghold, since he relied on the wealth that they gained from Saul to commit his sin, all that would actually cost Doeg his life. This is in the first 7 verses of the psalm. What I really want to focus on is the contrast of Doeg and David. However, in sharp contrast to Doeg, David told of God's blessing in his own life. And this is where we as believers can really apply. Opposite Doeg, who was destined to die, David was a thriving, the Hebrew word is ra'anan, a thriving olive tree, zayit, with a hardy and a productive. And the reason I said hardy and productive is that an olive tree can grow where no other trees can grow. And an olive tree yields very heavily with very little care and culture. This is why it was very popular in the Mideast. You didn't have to work very hard at it, and it would be very productive. And of course, the olive oil that it produces is very valuable. You can use olive oil not only for eating, you can actually burn it. And it burns almost practically without any soot. It's a tremendous, and if you accidentally spill the oil, the flame goes out. So it takes about 500-550 degrees in order to get the flame going in the olive oil, but it's a wonderful product to have. It's actually called liquid gold in some areas of the world. Anyway, he, with a hearty, productive, long life, trusting God's loyal love, the Hebrew word is chesed, and that trusting it forever. David added that he would praise God forever and ever for what he had done in punishing Doeg and blessing him, that he would then wait for or hope. That's the Hebrew word kawah. And the word hope is not like our word wish. I kind of hope something would happen. Hope is where you're looking for something that's going to happen in the future. That's what it is. Kawa. In God's name for future blessings, and praise him since doing so was good, and praising him before other believers. So the lesson is, though God would destroy Doeg for his treachery against the priests, David conversely trusted in the Lord and would enjoy a very hearty, lively, fruitful, long life by God's loyal love, and David would hope in him for the future. One of the wonderful blessings about the Lord is that when he gives a believer life, he packs that life full of vigor and vitality many, many times in many ways. Now, physically, you might have weakness, but there can be a very, a bullish spirit, a very powerful, positive, upright spirit that God provides for his people. But in order to apply this, we first of all have to become like David. We have to be believers in God. I wrote down the application section, which I do every Sunday. I read it. May we trust in Christ who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. In order to relate to God, we have to become children of God, a child of God. The Bible says all of us have sinned. All of us have come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. That means eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. Well, God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in our place for us. He paid the penalty of our sin. He died, he was buried, he rose again. If we believe in Jesus Christ for salvation from sin and hell, God gives us eternal life because he puts the atonement price that Christ paid into our slot, into our behalf, and then he saves us and gives us eternal life. If you haven't made that decision today, I would hope that you would make it before this day is out, because you never know how long you're going to have in this life. And when this life ends, there's no chance, there's no second chance to make a decision for Christ. You have to make that decision in this life. And that being the case, don't put it off. Don't put it off. You need to accept Jesus Christ today. Then second, in response to the treachery that we witness today, may we trust God to deal out justice as we rely on his loyal love toward us and hope in him for his blessings in the future. Now, I want to take that lesson that David has for us, God's loyal love and his hope, as revealed in his word, and apply it to the issues that were in our introduction. First of all, on the threat of progressives to the welfare of the Supreme Court and to the nation's unity. First of all, God in loyal love predicted in Revelation 3:21 with 7:17, and I've mentioned this many times, that leaders full of intrigue would oppress people today. That's exactly what's going on. What he would allow to occur to drive people to find solutions and balm in Bible-teaching churches. I really believe we're getting close to the rapture. And what God is doing right now, especially with the church, he's getting Christians to be on fire for him and to be able to provide solutions for him. And he wants to reach out to the world and get the world to come to trust in Christ before he levels the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation is going to be a ferocious time. Many people will be saved then, but it's much easier on people if they get saved now. And that's what he's doing. So we use Scripture to provide the truth opposite the false claims by progressives, and we direct believers to apply Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 9 to find peace by committing to God in prayer what makes us anxious and increased lawlessness if the Supreme Court's work is ever ruined, and that by thinking on edifying truths and by following Paul's example in living. So what God wants us to do, instead of worrying about what might happen if the Supreme Court as an institution is disqualified, Philippians 4, 6 to 9, that's where we handle this issue of anxiety. We leave it in the hands of God, and we start focusing on obeying his word and applying the truth and thinking on things that are upright and affirmative, and that God will give us peace. Also, God gave us hope on this issue in predicting in Daniel 2, 41 to 45, that Western civilization nations in our latter days would be split in race and ideology, and that is right coming true right now. We got racial splits, we have ideological splits, no question about it. and that this would continue to exist after the rapture of the church in the Great Tribulation period. So we should not fret over the threats we see to law and order today, but trust God to keep a workable degree of order in Western civilization today. He's allowing things to come unglued to some degree because he's trying to get the attention of people, but he's not going to lower the Great Tribulation on the earth as long as you have Christians here. The Christian church has to be raptured out of the world, because we do not deserve to be judged for rejecting Christ. We've already accepted Christ, so God cannot tolerate having his people undergo the world's judgment for rejecting Christ. So he's allowing some problems to arise, but is going to keep enough law and order so that we can still function, and that's what God's will is. Now, on progressives' use of false science to condemn gas stoves for their alleged harm to the climate by way of their emissions. Incidentally, I heard a report that houses with gas stoves are going in great demand. People want to buy a house with a gas stove right now. They're reacting to the pushback. Fascinating. So does this mean that if you have an electric stove, get rid of it and get a gas stove in order to sell your house? I'm not telling you to do that. But anyway, it's interesting that's happened. Dr. Gilbert Plass of Johns Hopkins University, an expert on the effect of carbon dioxide on the antediluvian and glacial climates, wrote, "The carbon dioxide content of the atmosphere was much higher, or much larger than at present. Higher temperatures than today would have resulted from this higher carbon dioxide content." This man, he wrote this in 1956, Johns Hopkins University. He was one of the world-renowned authorities on this figure at that time. "Yet mankind survived that era of a high concentration of carbon dioxide in Genesis chapters 1 through 6. In fact, there were giants in the world at that time. So that's not going to be a harmful problem for God. Also, Genesis 8:22, God promised that after the Noahic flood, he would sustain the earth's climate as long as the earth existed, that man might raise crops for food and survive on the earth during its duration, or for its duration. Man's use of fossil fuels cannot keep God from fulfilling that verse, or he would have blocked man's use of fossil fuels long ago. So there's no need to fear for the climate over man's use of fossil fuels. Believe you me, God knows what he's doing. In fact, there's every evidence today that what's going on with the climate change has to do with the sun. Right now, there are ice sheets that are melting along the coastland of Greenland. And the more they melt, the more artifacts they're finding, because the Vikings used to have farms all along Greenland. It's amazing. It's like, you know, they were there. They had a warming period back in the 1300s during the Middle Ages. And since then, there's been ice that's been covered up. Well, God predicted there'd be hot spells, there'd be cold spells in the climate. That's all that's going on. Pharmaceutical giant Pfizer's director of research and development, strategic operations, admitting on an undercover video by Project Veritas that Pfizer is now exploring how to mutate the COVID virus to create new strains and preemptively develop new vaccines to counter these strains, all for apparent company profit. We again note that we have often stated that God in his loyal love in Revelation 3:21 and 7:17 predicted that leaders full of intrigue would oppress people today. What God would allow to drive people to find solutions and balm in Bible teaching churches. So, in our Bible teaching church, we researched and we have documented, and we have documents on file showing that Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and even the Novavax COVID shots, with Novavax claiming it did not use aborted fetal cell lines to develop, manufacture, or produce its vaccine, they have each used aborted fetal cell lines to develop or manufacture or produce or test their COVID vaccines. Exodus 21, 22, and 23 prohibits abortion at any trimester, so we have alerted believers to this, and God has used that to alert them to protect them from being misled on vaccines. Now, we've allowed people to have the decision. If you as a believer feel you should get the vaccine, you've got that liberty, because we know this is a conscience issue. But we just want people to know what they're getting into. We hope then in God that God will continue to guide us to avoid future abusive medical deception. When this whole thing with the vaccines came out at first, as a pastor, I didn't know what in the world I was going to do, because I knew I had questions. People had questions. Well, the Lord brought a dear Christian along who alerted me to a certain issue, so I did some investigating, and I was shocked. And so the very next Sunday, I brought that information up to the congregation and let you know that they were using aborted fetal cell lines in these mRNA. They're just full of it. And even the Novavax, where they claim they didn't use it in the development, but they did use it to test it after they had developed it. They don't tell you that. They're being very dishonest. And it's because of money. Money is what runs this whole thing. But God led us. And God led us during the pandemic, and I believe that He's going to continue to lead us so that we can be aware of what's going on. So may we trust in Christ, who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. And in response to the treachery that we witness, may we trust God to deal out justice as we rely on His loyal love toward us and hope in Him for blessing. Let's pray. Father, I'm so grateful for the fact that You haven't left us to flail in this life just because there is sin around. You have given us solid evidence from Your Word. You've given us insight as to what You're up to, what the plan is, what the purpose is, and we see it being laid out right in front of us. We see Your hand at work, and we know what our job is because You've told us what we're supposed to be doing in Your Word. And You're leading us. You've been leading us all along. We're so grateful, Father, for Your love and for Your watch care of us as a church. And we ask, as believers, we would continue to trust You, trust Your loyal love, and trust and hope in You. And the hope where we are expecting Your continued help for us in the future, no matter what we face. We also ask, Father, that if there's anyone in our presence this morning, in the church service here this morning, or who may be listening by the MP3, who has not made the decision to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would see the need that they have to make that decision today, that they might have the gift of eternal life and hope and be able to go to be in heaven with the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.